the next topic comments for the question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. And Mufti Saab is on the other side of the line. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, Mufti Saab, jazakum Allah for your time, and inshallah we look forward to spending the next hour with Mufti Saab, hamidullah, and inshallah in learning the different masail of deen. Listeners, this is your folding program, inshallah. Any questions you have, any masail, doubts, queries, please to call us on 011-854-1548. That's the number to call. And if you want to send us any SMS questions, you are most welcome to do so. And the cell phone number to send the SMS questions is 082-580-8070. And a bit, it's 082-580-8070. Jazakallah. All right, we are waiting for your calls. Alhamdulillah, we have a number of questions that have come through in the last few days. The one says, Mufti Saab, can you please tell me whether buying a house on mortgage is permissible, considering that this is the only way I can buy a house for my family's living? Buying a house on mortgage, what is the masala?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. By mortgage, I presume it is buying a house via the bond system.
Okay.
And nowadays, let alone the Islamic banks offering the person a method of buying the house, even the commercial banks are now catering for Muslim clientele. However, there should be a few clauses. The clauses that the person should worry about is, number one, that there should be a fixed capital return. Now, I'm going to be mentioning these clauses, and those who are listening can note them down. And this is whether you are buying a house via the bank, or whether you're buying a car via the bank, or machinery via the bank. Then to Shari legalize the transaction and to make it permissible in the light of Sharia, then the clauses that I'm going to be mentioning should be adhered to. And the person should sign that document which has these clauses that I'm going to mention. And the last paper the person is going to sign must have these clauses. Number one, that the capital must be fixed. There should be no fluctuation in the capital. Number two, that the method of payment must be stipulated. Number three, the time of payment must be stipulated. Number four, the quantity of payment must be stipulated. For example, 3,000 rand a month or 4,000 rand a month. And fifthly, that the obviously when I talk of duration, that how long must he as the one owing the bank be able to pay the bank that money back. And also, if he can put this clause, which is optional, that he must have right of settlement, option of settlement. Hypothetically speaking, that if he is owing the bank 150,000, and now he slowly, as per schedule, paid them 70,000, and he all of a sudden has got cash flow with him, he can go to the bank and negotiate a settlement. That means he will be able to get a further discount. So keeping these clauses in mind, he must approach the Islamic bank or even the commercial bank, and if they agree to the clauses that I have stipulated and stated and specified, then he may go and purchase the house via the system mentioned.
All right, Jazakallah, Mufti Saab, going further, inshallah, number of questions. The other one is from a brother who asks, can you keep a zulfa if you don't have a beard?
There are two different issues. That the person, if he makes the intention of imitating Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam by keeping a zulfa, he will be rewarded for that action. But he will be sinful for not keeping a beard if he is capable of keeping a beard. So there are two different actions and producing two different results. For one, he will be rewarded, and the other, he deserves punishment and he will be classified a sinner. By keeping a zulfa, and shaving the beard, he is still a fasik and a fajr. He is still a transgressor and an evil doer, and one who is acting contrary to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keeping the beard is wajib, compulsory. And to keep a zulfa is preferable, mustahab, good life.
Allah Jazakallah for explaining to us the difference in them. So, and the other question is, can you attend a birthday party if you are invited?
First of all, the celebrations of birthday parties is an un-Islamic activity. A person should not attend these functions, whether it means breaking so-called family ties or displeasing someone, a relative or a friend, or it means that you are going to be so-called ostracized after that. You should not worry. Attending of these parties inevitably means giving of gifts, and if you don't give a gift, then you are classified as a miser. Intermingling of genders, then music, photography, laughter, wasting time, vanity, extravagance, un-Islamic activity, photography, videoing, and imitating of the kuffar, exchanging of laughter between genders. Eventually, the whole affair is totally lavish, extravagance, moving into death. And also, the people neglect the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not perform their salah. Thousands of rands are spent on a dress, cake, and decor. That money can be taken, and wealth can be built for the dug for the poor. Poor, needy, destitute can be fed with that wealth spent. A person should not attend the function, the birthday function, irrespective of whether it is his brother, sister inviting, or some close relative inviting.
Right, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. Dear listeners, this is a question and answer program with Mufti Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. The number to call is 011-854-1548, and the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8270. The other question is sent via SMS. Can Mufti Sahib please explain how to calculate zakat on a few items which I have been buying and selling for a profit for the last 2 years? The amount originally invested was 3,000 rands, Mufti Sahib.
Although the question is vague, that basically you will take your merchandise, your goods that you have got, that is your paid up stock, and in your case it is not much, it is 3,000 rand, so you will take at the end of one Islamic lunar year and see how much of asset you have got, and your asset in Islam, that is the point to understand and to define. For example, your asset will be classified, that is, which is in your possession, which is in your ownership, which is in your control, which is which you have got haqq tasarruf, right of distribution over, and you have got it for one Islamic lunar year. Now, apparently, for example, if you got 3,000 rand worth of stock throughout the Islamic lunar year, you will pay 2.5% of 3,000 rand. All those points that I've mentioned, 5 points, require some explanation and details.
All right, JazakAllah. So 30 minutes past 8 o'clock. It's 8541548. Cell phone number again, the reminder is 082-580-8070. So we go on further. This one pertains to a pregnant woman. The question is it permissible and jaiz for a pregnant woman during the last term of her pregnancy to sit and perform farad namaz as she is burdened with a heavy weight and experiences much difficulty in making ruku and sajda? So this pregnant woman is experiencing extreme difficulty in making qiyam, ruku and sajda. Can she sit and perform her farad namaz?
She should sit for the entire salah.
Alright, she should for the entire namaz. JazakAllah. The other question...
Obviously, the ruku and sajda will be made by signing.
Alright, JazakAllah. Mustafa, we have a call on the line. Sister, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jesus, sir, JazakAllah.
I just wanted to know if a person is in nifas, can she cut her nail?
Alright, JazakAllah. That's the only question you have.
Yes.
Alright, JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Would you say because of the question?
No.
If a woman is in nifas, can she cut her nails?
If she is in nifas, See, the idea when a lady is in nifas and haiz not to cut or tear the nails is to create an untidy feeling and an external untidy show so that the husband is not attracted to her. Because to take benefit from the wife during the periods of nifas and haiz is illegal, shari, haram. Now, the Shariat has prescribed a method whereby the husband, when he looks at the woman, when he looks at his wife, in that untidy state, then he does not want to go very near her. However, if that those nails are now creating hygiene, proper hygiene difficulties, then there will be some room for tearing those nails.
All right, Jawad, did we come back to the question of weddings? It says, is a wedding gown and a wedding cake allowed?
The gown or the wedding gown, or first of all, let's go for the gown and then the cake. The wedding gown, if it is an extra dress for the person who is getting married and it is not imitating the kuffar in that long trails, etc., and not having all the paraphernalia, the frills and the fancies which the kuffar generally put on, then to have some special dress for the bridegroom on the day is permissible, as long as it is not extravagant, it is not lavish. And also we must realize something, that those dresses are worn to be shown to the public. Therefore, the function has to be totally separate. The genders have to be completely separate, so that no one sees the bridegroom in her dress, which is there for her to display. As far as the cake is concerned, that if you do it with the intention of imitating and following the kuffar method, then totally it will become haram. But if there is an extra cake and with no imitation of the kuffar, etc., because they are specialists in designing these cakes, which have got funny things written on them, and which have got various tears and various tiers and various systems. When you look at that, you must not be reminded that you are attending a non-believer's wedding. You must know that this, although it is a special cake, but not imitating those of the kuffar and disbelievers, earning the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right, Musab, now we have a nikah question here. The example is, let's say, for example, Zayd marries Fatima. All right, Zayd marries Fatima. Zayd has a son, Ahmed, from his previous marriage. Fatima also has a daughter called Aisha from her previous marriage. So is it permissible for Ahmed to marry Aisha?
You have to explain that again slowly to me.
All right, sir. The example is, for example, say Zayd marries Fatima. So Zayd has got a son, Ahmed, from his previous nikah. Now Fatima, his wife, also has a daughter, Aisha, from her previous nikah. So in this instance, is it permissible for Ahmed to marry Aisha?
That means they are from two separate wombs.
Yeah, gee.
If they are two separate wombs, then it is permissible.
It's permissible, so they do not become mahrams due to the respective parents' nikah.
Now, the other question is, remember clearly that the bride, when she dresses up, then she must not externally appear to be imitating the kuffar. And also, we must also stress here, let alone the bride, that the bridegroom, that the husband, he also must dress up so that he can be identified Islamically. These days, a lot of places we have seen that the bridegroom, he comes into the masjid looking like a Muslim with kurta and turban, and then he after half an hour, when you see him in the hall, then you don't even recognize that this is the person whom nikah you performed. And the Maulana is absolutely shocked that, is this the bridegroom who was sitting in front of me? Now, unfortunately, he doesn't even look or smell like a Muslim.
All right, JazakAllah, Mr. Bigon. Further, a few SMS questions have come through in the last few minutes. The one saying, Assalamu alaikum, a question regarding establishments, especially food outlets, using a beautiful name of Allah. Please comment and ruling buying from such outlets.
It is permissible to buy from such outlets as long as the food is halal.
As long as food is halal, JazakAllah. Can we tweeze eyebrows, Muftisa?
For sole pleasure of attracting only the husband. I repeat, only the husband. Not to tweeze it and come out into the public area for viewing. And not to tweeze it to attract others. And not to tweeze it out of the fashion of the day. Tweeze it only for the pleasure of the husband, for the bedroom, and nowhere else.
The other question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, I want to know, considering the state of hospitals, would it be okay to take out a hospital plan?
In the state of hospitals, I and some other Muftis are of the opinion, it's permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go on further computer questions on the computer screen. The one says, is the reading of Janjul Arsh permissible?
Janjul Arsh. This is a kitab. And as long as what is written in the kitab is permissible, if the wazayif in those kitabs are permissible, it is permissible to recite it. If there are names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, it is permissible. And, you know, we'd like to mention something, that to mention and to read the names of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a zikr is not proven.
Alright. The other question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, coming through SMS, please assist with following. The first question is, if I have started with Qada'i Umri Namaz, how should I make my intentions? And the other question is, if I make intention to keep Roza after going to the doctor, and I've put on medication, can I keep it after a few days?
Put on medication?
It just says put on medication, that's all.
Okay, I will explain.
James.
First of all, the qaza system. The qaza system, we have written in our book, Sunnat Salat, Qaza Salat, Nafil Salat. Those who are interested, inshallah, can see it on our website, alislam.co.za. Now, we have prescribed a method there that for every salah, then prior to it, or after it, if time is permissible, to make the qaza thereof. For example, a person is going to for Zohar. So he makes the Zohar qaza before it or after it. That is one method. So that means for a day, you will have made a day's qaza. Now the intention you will make is, Ya Allah, this is for the last, or shall we say, this is for the first qaza that I made. And then subsequently you can come downwards. Because you have got a record that I will be making for 4 years or 5 years or 7 years. And you just have to know that I started now in January of this year and I have got 5 years of qaza. So 5 years time, inshallah, all your qazas will be up. That is one method. Second method which I like, but I have not written it in my book, that for example, you calculate, Ya Allah, I owe you 2,000 Fajr Salah. Now you got a small notebook in your pocket and you keep ticking off 2,000, then 1,999, and inshallah within a short time you'll realize you finished your Fajr Qaza, now you can go for your Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha and your Witr. That is one method of doing it, saying that this is my first Qaza and then you can count downward.
The second question was, with regards to Roza, if they're making
now a person, obviously it is a female who's asking this question, that the person went to the doctor for an examination, and if there was anything inserted into her, then the Roza will break. If there was nothing inserted, no fluid, gel, no water was inserted inside, then the Roza is intact. If anything, gel, fluid, or any chemical was inserted, then the Roza will automatically break. A qaza has to be obeyed.
All right. Mustafa, we take one more question down, inshallah, we have a break. The one question is about Qurbani and Nikam. The question states, if person A, married person B, A is Muslim, but B is not. After a year, B became a Muslim. After a few years, A passed away. Now B is not a Muslim anymore, but still wants to make her husband's qurbani every year. Is it permissible? can we eat it and can we distribute it?
First of all, this is a very sad state of affairs. Becoming Muslim, leaving Islam, etc. And this, unfortunately, da'wah to be given to the remaining party B, who unfortunately has left Islam. And strong da'wah and extradition should be given to re-enter the fold of Islam. The action of B is vain, futile, and that we should not encourage such an action.
All right. Yes, this is your phone-in program. Any questions you have, call us on 011-854-1548. The cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8070. Mufti Ilyas, assalamu alaikum, are you there?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen, jazakallah. All right, we have a number of questions. Let's go to the first one sent via SMS. Saying, assalamu alaikum, if the mayyat was given ghusl and non-mahram male kiss the forehead of the female mayyat, should the ghusl be repeated? And what's the rule regarding those that insist that the ghusl must be repeated?
The ghusl does not have to be repeated. However, that action is not a good action that has occurred. And those who allow that action to take place should seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are insisting there should be another ghusl are not correct. That is an erroneous view.
All right. Can I read the du'as in English, that is the adhkar, etc., but not in Arabic?
It is best to make the adhkar, here the person is getting confused between the adhkar and du'a, that adhkar is the plural of zikr, so those adhkar should be done in Arabic. The du'a, yes, if you want to make it in your vernacular, English or whatever language, then that is good because you will know what you are pleading for and you know what you are asking for and you will make an effort in that direction yourself. So you will be saying, Ya Allah, let me become steadfast in Salah, and you will make an effort in that direction. So those who are making it in Arabic, it is permissible, but you should also learn what dua you are making. Remember, we most of the time we are reading dua. We are not making dua. And we should now come into the pattern of making dua, not reading dua. Reading dua, we are doing it parrot fashion. We will be rewarded tremendously for it. But when we make dua, then we will know what we are asking for. And that is what Shariat wants us to do. To make dua, plead before Allah, cry before Allah, and then move in the direction of what you are doing. To make dua for Jannah and move towards Jannah.
Alright, so I think you mentioned a very important point here, that read the dua and plead and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Murisa, what about dua in a melodious voice?
That one is a melodious voice, and one is that to have kafiya bandi at the dua. Kafiya bandi means that to rhyme the dua, the end portions to rhyme it. I've read in the ahadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated there will come a time that there will be those who are going to be rhyming their du'as, and this is not desirable in Sharia, to rhyme those du'as. However, to recite the du'a in a melodious voice, that will be permissible. There are two different issues.
Right.
However, the melodious voices should be melodious, but not now tuned to the latest current film songs, etc.
We go on further, and the other question is from a sister saying, Assalamu alaikum. Do females have to cover their hair when they sleep?
It is good to initially start in that direction. However, it becomes uncovered, then that is permissible.
Alright. Assalamu alaikum. The other question is, my toilet and bathroom is in one. Can I read the du'as for wudu or any other du'as? Jazakallah.
The question actually comes about because very not long ago that we were accustomed to utilizing those facilities where the feces and the urine should remain in those areas. Then the question will be valid, and the answer will be that you should not do it because that place is not a clean place. It is a dirty, soiled, napas place. In our circumstances, in most homes, we have got the flush systems, Thereby, all the feces and urine is removed to the extent that smell is removed. So in that case, all the relative respective du'as can be and should be recited whilst making wuzu.
All right. And we have a sister on the line. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, sister, are you there? Assalamu alaikum. Sister? All right, I think sister left us. Call us on 011-854-1548. We have a caller from an anonymous sister. She wants to know that must I read the sunnah of the qadha namaz as well?
Understand certain usul principles indeed, that there is qaza for faraiz, that is obligatory salah, and there is qaza for wajib, that is compulsory salah, that is the five salah and witr. There is no qaza for sunnah salah or nafil salah.
All right, jazakallah. We go on further. A question from a sister. She says, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. What's more greater in reward, studying the deen of Allah like an alima, or looking after one's child or children?
Looking after one's child and children and educating them towards Islam. And whilst looking after your child and your children through study, and for the female, that you do not have to become an alima in order to care for your child. You study adequately. The ulama ikram, the elders of our predecessors have stated clearly that if you can go through best is ever comfortably, Talim al-Islam comfortably, that inshallah you will have sufficient Islamic education for yourself and for imparting the education to your children. To care for your child, to care for your children is most important. It is not necessary for us or essential to become an alima.
JazakAllah, myself, I think that the kitab, best is ever, is very, very important, and I think we must try to all learn it. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us a Malana San, Misab Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a very high maqam and state in Jannah. Allah give him Jazai Khair. Ameen. Wonderful, wonderful kitab, in fact. Alright, you have a call on the line, sister. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Malana, I would like to know that my neighbor, she's a widow, and she gets. Somebody wants to give her interest money. Can she pay that in her lights and water?
Alright, does she earn, sister? Does she
no, she income? Doesn't earn, but I know that she told me once she's got a little bit of jewelry with her.
Alright, just hold the line, Mutisa.
How little bit?
How little bit, sister? Little bit of jewelry, how much is it?
I don't know, maybe it's about 5,000, 6,000.
5,000, 6,000.
Yeah, but now, sir, her sister wants to give her interest money to pay the lights and water, so she says, can she use that? Because she's scared to come and she said, ask my mother.
She's
sweet
for her. She's not receiving
zakat,
she's giving
zakat. Sister Mursabi is saying that she's not receiving zakat, she's giving zakat. She's got to give zakat on that.
I don't know if she gave for anything, but she just asked me to find out of that interest.
Just hold on, Mursabi would like to respond to that. Sister, hold on, Mursabi, your response to that?
When she's giving zakat, then she's not poor. And when she is not poor, but she cannot be entitled to receive interest money.
Alright, Jee, JazakAllah, that clarified. Sister, you got the answer.
Jee, okay.
Alright, JazakAllah, she cannot receive. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We got another question.
Yeah, I got the impression that the caller has not fully understood. Inshallah, if she is listening, very simple, that the widow, that because she has got jewelry, then because she's got such a lot of jewelry, 5,000 riyals, then she should be giving zakat on that. And because she is giving zakat, she is not entitled to receive zakat. And because she is giving zakat, she cannot be classified in the light of Sharia as poor, as needy, as destitute, as a widow deserving of zakat. Now when she is not taking zakat, then she cannot take that interest. Yes, if she disposes of her, if she gives her jewelry away, and she gives it to someone, maybe her daughter or son or whatever it is, then she is liable or she is deserving or worthy of receiving zakat.
Right.
Then when she becomes poor, then she can take that interest money and pay the light account.
Alright, JazakAllah, when she's giving zakat, it means she's not basically poor. Sister wants to know, Muftisab, when making wudu, must her hair be covered?
It is good for the hair to be covered, and If she's making wuzu in the privacy of her home, then if it is uncovered, then it is permissible. However, if she is out in public places, then it is necessary for them to cover their head and the hair. If due to disobedience, transgression, and negligence, if the head is open and she completes the wuzu will be valid.
All right, Jazakallah. We're going further. Assalamu alaikum. We have quite a number of questions. Let's go through one of them, through each one of them. The one saying, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab, is there a dua that can be read to soften a person's heart? I'm sure the ladies aren't running for pens and pencils and paper, Mufti Sahab.
If the person recites durood in abundance, the recitation of durood in abundance will soften the hardest of hearts.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The question says, I don't know how many namaz I've missed. How can I read these qaza namaz? And yes, that's the question.
If you are a male, go to your local alim and he will ask you various questions like when you became baligh. And if you're female, you can listen to these questions and then answer them. When you became baligh, mature, then did you perform your Jummah? Did you performed the Isha during Ramadan, and did you perform Isha any time in your life? How regular were you? And did you perform your Jummah Salat? Did you perform your Witr in your Ramadan? And how regular were you in your childhood days for any Salat, or you were totally negligent? Then when he gives you a proper interview, a simple estimation can be made, thereby you can get an approximation and go by it.
All right. So I think we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Wa alaikum assalam. Allah jazakallah for the call. A question, brother?
Okay, I'd like to know what is the do's and don'ts of iddat.
The do's and don'ts of iddat.
Yes.
All right, jazakallah, very important question. Is that all, brother?
Yes.
Jazakallah for your question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We said the do's and the don'ts of iddat.
Just offhand, there are a few books available, and alhamdulillah, the Waterfall Institute wrote a book on this about Iddah. At the moment, we have written about Iddah, but it comes in a book called Muslim Woman, and it's also available on our website, alislam.co.za. Basically, the lady must not leave the house, and meaning the house area, house and the courtyard. Secondly, that she must not dress up fashionably.
Yeah.
Thirdly, she must totally avoid utilization of any attractive jewelry. And fourthly, she must not discuss about marriages and future marriages, and she must not entertain any proposals. Indicative proposals can be made very discreetly, indirectly, to her or via the permissible method. She must live simply and also focus on the akhirat, reformation process, also making a lot of dua. Dua is accepted during that time.
Alright, you go on further, inshallah. The other question, this one's very important, very interesting. The Muslims in the American and the British Army, Mufti Sahab, that are fighting Iraq and Afghanistan, and if they have to pass away and die, are they regarded as shuhada?
Depends in what circumstances they have passed away, and depends on what they were doing there, and their intention is of utmost importance to determine the end result.
All right. Till what time can you read Ishraq Namaz?
Ishraq Namaz?
Ji.
That will be till about 10 o'clock.
All right. We can't further, inshallah, we have a number of questions. The one is with regards to piles. The question is as follows. If you got piles and you use your ointments in Ramadan, does this break your fast?
It will break the fast.
It will break the fast, alright. When you flush the chain, Mufti Sahab, in the toilet and the water splashes on your clothes, does it make your clothes napak?
Does not make it napak.
It does not make your clothes, alright. I acquire property as a landlord. Do I pay zakat on the value of the property or just on the income?
On the rental.
on the rental. Jazakallah. All right, dear listeners, we have just about 5 minutes left before we conclude and terminate the program. Any questions you have, call us right now on 011-854-1548. The other question is, Assalamu alaikum, can a woman that has her monthly cycle read du'as for the contentment of her heart?
She can read the du'a and not make intention of tilawat of Quran, recitation of Quran. She should make intention in reciting du'a, only du'a.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. My sister-in-law's cousin left the fold of Islam, inna lillah. My brother welcomes her into the home with the hope that she will realize her mistake. But 10 years and 2 kids later, nothing has happened. Should they continue trying with this up?
10 years is a very, very long period. Mm-hmm. And that means that the welcome was so welcoming without any objection. The welcoming was so comfortable, there was no realization. The welcoming was so welcoming that the person never realized that what they were doing is sinning. And if they are not now vicious in their propaganda, in their propagation and convincing, then they should think seriously of severing that relationship.
All right, we go on further. Assalamu alaikum, it says. All right, before we come to that one. Assalamu alaikum, is there anything wrong to have plants to grow in our bathrooms and toilets? Please advise.
It is permissible.
It is permissible.
However, don't turn your toilet and bathroom into a forest.
Right, dear Musaf. Assalamu alaikum, I have been forced by my parents to become a hafiz. What should I do?
Become a hafiz, and this forcing at times is not realized by the person becoming a hafiz. And you may not like it at this moment. We and everybody, including the Marana, will make a lot of dua for you so you get istiqamat and sabr. You may not realize that your parents are your well wishers at this stage. And they want Jannat for themselves and for you. So you should, alhamdulillah, you have started the hijj, you should persevere. You should have istiqamah, steadfastness, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then think carefully that why are you classifying it as a force? Someone is putting it in your head that while we are playing, you are learning Quran, or while we are having fun, you are learning Quran. And check your environment, check your company, check who you are going with. Perhaps they think they are having a very good time, and maybe you are thinking that you are not having a good time. But in reality, you should make a sabr that you are a person who has got intelligence and a person who has got choice. Realize that you are doing the correct thing. And very few and fortunate are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the memory to memorize Quran al-Kareem. Regard this as a favor and a boon, and don't regard this as a force.
All right, if only we understand the benefits of memorizing the Kalam Allah, you know, our minds cannot comprehend and understand the importance of learning the Quran al-Kareem and the virtues. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. As a Muslim, Mufti Sahib, what should our view be towards the recent London bombings?
As far as those bombings are concerned and those similar things, that we staying so far away from here, we do not even know the truth of the matter. And how come now they are saying that the Israelis and the Jews knew about the bomb? And who is behind the bombing? And there's some very strange investigations.
Okay.
So everything that happens, they keep blaming the Muslims and fundamentalists and keep blaming Al-Qaeda. Now, a loss of a life is a loss of a life. We are very grieved about it.
Mm.
And there should be one survey done that how many Muslims are dying per day in the world. Yeah, 54, 56 died. We are sorrowful about it, we are grieving about it. But daily, on a daily basis, more than 100 Muslim, innocent Muslims are dying in the world. No one is standing for them. No one is commenting on them. No one is sympathizing for them. No one is crying over them. Mm-hmm. No one is voicing any objection over their death. No one is weeping over them. No one is making press statements for them. And now, for example, they had a 2-minute silence. They all went out to the street over this event that took place in London. Because 56 people died, they went out and stood for 2 minutes there. If we Muslims have to stand out, although this is un-Islamic, and it is not a method of showing your solidarity, if we have to go and stand out for the number of Muslims dying per day, then the Muslims will be standing out whole day.
Gee, Masha. Allah make it easy, Masha. There was a recent report, there was a journalist called Larry Everest, and he told hundreds of NGO activists gathered in Istanbul and a few reporters out in London as well, that the World Tribunal, or rather he says, with two wars and 13 years of criminal sanctions, the United States have been responsible for more deaths in Iraq than Saddam Hussein or any other leader. And the World Tribunal on Iraq, a group of NGOs and intellectuals, you know, opposed to the war in Iraq, on Friday also accused the United States. They've mentioned that the United States were responsible of causing much more deaths in Iraq, you know, than Saddam Hussein. Allahu Akbar, Allah make it easy for the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
People pass away and die. There is such a hullabaloo, and thousands upon thousands of innocent Muslims die, nothing is said. 500,000 babies are killed mercilessly, no one raises a or batters an eyelid.
Allah make it easy, Mustafa. It seems as though the life of a Muslim has no value in the eyes of the world. We go on further, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The question is, what is the Sharia law regarding my brother who left Islam? Astaghfirullah.
We should be very worried about this. This is, I think, the third or fourth question that people are leaving Islam. We should worry about this. Some address should be taking place. Ulama Ikram, humble appeal from our side, try to address the situation, why it is happening, that it is definitely because of our amal that is this is happening, and we should take stock of ourselves. What was the question, Mala?
The question was the Sharia law regarding my brother who left Islam, and he further says, who must make the Hajj?
In a Islamic country, if there was Islamic rule, then definitely there should have been Hajj. And the Hajj for the renegade, for the one who has left Islam, Islam, renounced Islam, that person is wajib al-qatl, it is compulsory to kill that person. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Ramatullah Ali, was classified second Umar, that he did two things, and one of those two things which are significant, before alighting from his conveyance, the person who has left the fold of Islam, he demanded that the person should be beheaded. However, we are living in a non-Islamic country where we cannot implement Islamic law. The best is that we should ostracize and also give a lot of da'wah whenever we come into contact with that person.
Alright, inshallah. So let's go through the questions. Bismillah. The one says, is it haram to take a scan when you are pregnant to know what baby you can have or you are having?
It is permissible to do so, and it does not go against the ayat, which are the last ayat of Surah Luqman. The last ayat of Surah Luqman, which talk about no one knows various things, those five activities, and those five, the five information, and one is what is in the wombs. And this does not refer to the gender of what is in the wombs. This refers to the character of the baby, the personality of the baby, the fortune or misfortune of the baby, and the life of the baby. It does not refer to the gender of the baby.
Alright. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. The question is, Mujisab, what answer do I give to my non-Muslim work colleagues as to whether Islam allows killing of innocent civilians and also, he says, martyrdom bombers?
These phrases that have been given by them, then before even defending, we should be asking them that what is happening in the entire world, some research that the questionnaire should ask that and list that all the areas where hundreds and thousands of Muslims have died and have been martyred, and what is happening in the jail in Guantanamo Bay, and in all the areas, what is happening there in the Abu Ghraib jail, all these things should be listed and brought forward. The difficulty and the problem is that we have become defensive, and we are not exposing the atrocities against the Muslims. And as far as the actions of others, we are Muslims. We are a peaceful nation. We are a nation full of tranquility.
Yes, sir.
And jihad was going on. And jihad will carry on. And when there is a gas pipe, and when this gas pipe is flowing and someone decides to cut the gas pipe and then block it, then there has to be explosion.
Mm.
So that gas pipe that was going on before 9/11 should have been allowed to go on. A Muslim will not willfully, intentionally kill any person without any just cause.
JazakAllah. And Musab, if I may just add on, if you give me ijazah, that Islam never tolerates aggression from its own side, nor from any other side, nor does Islam entertain aggressive wars or the initiation of aggressive wars. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Islam. There's a proposal for a girl. The boy and girl find that they are compatible, but the girl's parents refuse the proposal for no valid reason. What should the girl and the boy do?
Perhaps the person wants to say run away. The Mufti is not going to say that. The Mufti is going to say that girl clearly should worry about the parents' opinion. The parent is seasoned and wants the best for the children, has got the welfare of the children at heart. The parent will know something which the daughter does not know about, so there should be some discussion going on why, some reason going on why, and the welfare of the child lies in the hands of the parent, and the child should realize that.
Alright, inshallah, JazakAllah for that. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. It says, that was answered already. The other question is, just 1 second, we come to the question here, that can halala take place only by arrangement so that a couple may remarry after 3 talaqs are given?
If such a halala takes place, then the curse is upon all parties.
Alright, JazakAllah. What is the difference between a talaq given during sleep and extreme anger and drunkenness?
Both are valid.
Both are valid. Does the wife have a right to intimacy?
Permissible.
Permissible, she's got the right. Alright. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. Alright, this one is done already. We go to the SMS questions. Assalamu alaikum. Can you eat bacon flavor biscuits? I think Musab, they can check with Senha. If you shoot an animal while hunting and after reciting the takbir, the animal then dies before you get a chance to properly slaughter, is the animal halal? Himself, your findings.
Although there is a difference of opinion on this,
okay,
that a lot of ulama are now saying it is permissible.
It is permissible, Jay. And I think we have
Mu'inul Mufti. There is a kitab called Mu'inul Mufti. The reference is from there.
Okay, JazakAllah. Alright, so I think we come to the last question for tonight. It's 20 minutes to 10 o'clock. The last listener says, Assalamu alaikum. A customer has forgotten a perishable item at my business. It's been a week already and nobody has come forward to claim the item. What should I do?
Why, you never eat it yet?
Yes, I was about to ask if it's biltong, send it to us.
Oh, why? It was a perishable item now. Why they left it for 1 week? What should have been done? That it is a perishable item. Shop owner must decide that he can easily decide because he's the seller and he knows that this item here can last for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days because it is perishable in nature. He should, as soon as he realizes that if I do not sell this item, it's going to rot and because it is a perishable item. So he should have brought it back into his shop and sold it and kept the price of it, the value of it. And when that person comes back, give him the money back.
Alright. Well, Sam, JazakAllah wa ahsan al-jaza. We really, really, really appreciate Mufti Sam's time and dedication in helping the Ummah with all the masail, concerns and queries. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward Mufti Sam the best of rewards in dunya, qabr and akhirat as well, inshallah. And may Allah make it a means of sadaqah jariyah for Mufti Sam and the family. Mufti Sam, JazakAllah once again, and remember us in your humble du'as.
You and also the listener.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullah.